Hi, everybody. Welcome to April 1st, 2024. We're going to be going through the book of James or the book of Jacob. The Passion Translation names it Jacob. And actually, the Hebrew name Jacob is the name of a man who had the 12 sons and formed the tribes of Israel. But he was the guy who wrote this. And this is what, you know, we want to talk about today. We're going to go through James, not the whole book, but we're going to go through chapter by chapter like we did with John. And I want to remind you to go to Tom and Sarah YouTube channel, my podcast, Tom and Sarah. And you can like, comment, share, subscribe these videos. Like, comment, and share on here on Facebook. And share the videos with your friends. I believe the Word of God is so important for us today. Now, whether you're reading the Bible through in a year, and you know what I do every day is I read the Word four chapters a day. You read four chapters a day, you're done at the end of October. Actually, it's 3.2 chapters, 3.3 chapters a day, and you'll get through the Bible in the year. And that's if you read on Sundays. But if you don't read on Sundays, then shame on you. No. You can read four chapters a day and you're done in October. So I want to, or if you're reading like one verse, sometimes I get stuck on a verse and I meditate on that verse. And I get all that I can out of that verse. And sometimes I'm stuck on a verse. Over the last few years, I've been stuck on a verse here, a verse there for a number of days. I was in the book of Song of Solomon back in 2017 or 2016 and 2017 for 16 months. And I wrote a devotional on it. It's called SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God. And it's just from a meditations that I had done back in 2016 and 2017. And so you can get that book on Amazon. I also have another book. It's called From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. And that came out in 2020, 2021. And, you know, through the years 2018 and 2019, I went through a nervous breakdown. And God delivered me out of it. And I had some experiences, encounters with the Lord in that season, in that time. So I want you to go ahead and subscribe. If you want to help out with this ministry, tomandsarah@outlook.com, and I'll get you the links. All right, so we're in the book of James, book of Jacob, whichever, if you're in the Passion Translation, this is the book of Jacob. In the Passion Translation, I'm going to read this. Greetings. My name is Jacob, and I am a love slave of God. Now, it's not the perverted love slave. It just means that he is a slave from love. The Jews had a custom. After 50 years, a slave was to be set free. But if he decided to stay, he would pierce his ear with an awl against the doorpost of his master's house. And he would be a slave for the rest of his life in that area. So, and he would be his slave. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about a love slave. And of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am writing to all of the 12 tribes of Israel who have been sown as seeds among the nation. And that this is translated from the Aramaic, that they were sown as seeds. Okay, they were spread out among the Roman Empire. Okay. I remember Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, he says, you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. But they were sticking around in Jerusalem. Persecution came, and then they dispersed throughout. And then so he's writing to those that were sown as seeds. And he says, my fellow believers, so he's not writing to the lost, he's writing to the believers. When it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can, for you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing or lacking. Nothing missing and nothing lacking. And other versions say, count it all joy when you experience various kinds of trials, for knowing that the testing of your faith stirs up this power, stirs up endurance, stirs up perfection, so that you are lacking in nothing. And I want to tell you this, it's kind of a paradox. It's kind of like the paradox of God, okay? God's character never changes. God is good. God is love. God is righteousness. He is our righteousness. He is provider. He is healer. He is our shepherd. It's not what he does, it's who he is. A lot of people ask me, Tom, so what do you do? Are you a pastor? No, pastoring is what I do. It's not who I am. Are you a pastor? No. Pastoring is what I do. I am a believer in Jesus. And it's who I am is in Christ. What I do is evangelism. What I do is pastoring. What I do is plant churches. What I do is encourage the brethren. I've been called to encourage the saints, not to tear you down. And now, believe me, I walked away from that for a while. I felt like my prophetic gift was to tear everybody down, when it isn't. My purpose was to encourage and to build them up and to let them know that they are loved and let them know that they're going to make it. But he says here, count it all joy. Be joyful in your trials. What are you talking about? Be joyful. It's hard. Trials are hard. Hard situations are hard. What do you mean? Jesus was the most joyful of anybody that was around him. The Bible says that. The God of all hope give you joy overflowing. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Unfortunately, I've met a lot of people who look like they've been baptized in lemon juice, and they have sourpusses on their face, and like that means that they're holy. Put your hair in a bun and that's it. No. You got to be joyful when you're encountering trials. Why do that? Why should you count it all joy? Because when your faith is tested, when your faith passes the test, it stirs up dunamis. It stirs up the power of God in you so that you can endure all things. We have been given an incredible thing where the grace of God is upon us. Now, grace is not only unmerited favor or not getting what we getting what we don't deserve, but it also contains with it the power to overcome bad in our lives, situations in our lives, sin in our life. To endure all things. Grace comes on us so that we can either enjoy our days or we can endure our days. God wants us to enjoy our days, yes, but he also understands that when we have hard days, we can endure those days. And then when our endurance grows even stronger, he says it will release perfection into every part of our lives until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. I want to go to Romans, the 5th chapter. And in Romans chapter 5, and it says, but that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures, our difficulties, our tribulations, will develop in us a patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And hope is not a disappointing fantasy. But we can now experience the endless love of God cascading in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Hope doesn't disappoint. We have this joyful confidence knowing that the trying of our faith, Romans chapter 5, okay? We get to endure. We get to do the long game. And I always go back to, I always go back to the place of the Holy Spirit when I was on the track team, when I was on the football team and baseball team, not so much baseball, but basketball for sure, wrestling. We would exercise. And we would go beyond our limits so that, everybody say so that, we would go beyond our limits so that we could be in more enduring. We would practice and practice and practice, and I would practice when we're done practicing. I would still practice. I would run. I would do the running. Why? Because I wanted to be the last one standing. I wanted to be the one that was able to go the distance. And what happens is you build an endurance in your abilities to run. You build up an endurance to maintain a level of speed or abilities when you're going through your training. And that's what it is. It's training. All of this stuff is training so that we can be righteous, so that we can make it. He who endures, there's that word, endures to the end, will be saved, will be delivered, will be empowered. You cannot set free somebody if you are not free. Somebody asked me one time, Tom, I want to play basketball like you. And I said, great. Are you willing to go through what I went through? What do you mean? You have to work hard. You have to run. Basketball is running. I don't know if you've ever played indoor soccer or arena soccer, but it's fast. You're continually moving. And you need to have the ability to be able to breathe on a regular basis. You have to have an expansion in your lungs so that you can do this thing. And God wants you to endure the spiritual warfare that you go through. Now, yes, he fights the battles for us, no doubt. But many of us go through things on a daily basis, and it's like, oh, I just can't do this anymore. I've said that. I can't do this anymore. God, get me. I quit. And I've quit the ministry many, many times. But God won't let me stay quit. It's just too hard. I always knew the right thing to do. Always. In my life, I always knew what was the right thing to do, but I never did it all the time. Because it was too hard. The Christian life is not easy. Somebody said, well, being a Christian is a bed of roses. And I said, no, it isn't. There may be roses. You may have fragrance. You may have beauty. But there's thorns in that. And you have to be able to endure to the end. Otherwise, God would never have said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Why don't we get this? I don't know. Well, James is bringing it out to the believers. Now, they went through a lot. I don't know if you knew this, but Christians were being hung on crosses on the road, on the Romans road, only because of the fact that they were Christians. Nero burned them to light up the streets while they were hanging there. Endure, endure. I remember the story of a Roman soldier. Excuse me. I remember the story of a Roman soldier who was guarding the lake as they threw Christians onto this frozen lake until they died. And the soldier saw angels coming down from the sky, grabbing people and taking them back up. And he was amazed by this. And then he felt a tug on his leg. And the guy says, "I want to renounce Jesus." And he says, "You're stupid. Go back out there. Go back out there. If you could see what I see, angels coming down and grabbing these people." Eventually, the soldier was killed for his faith in Jesus. He gave his heart to Jesus, he ended up giving his life for his passion for his Jesus. "Now, if anyone longs to be wise," James says, verse 5, "ask God for wisdom, and he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with generous grace," or with an open hand. If you lack wisdom, I do. If you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives it to you. Remember Solomon. Solomon, God said, "Ask anything." And Solomon asked for wisdom to lead the people. And he said, "Because you didn't ask for money, I'm going to give that to you. Since you didn't ask for power, I'm going to give that to you, along with the wisdom." If you lack wisdom, ask him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding and the knowledge of God, Ephesians chapter 1 says. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. That he would open the eyes of our heart to be open, that we would know what is the hope of our calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us. That God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I want to go to Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Let me get to my tablet here. And while we're going there, I want to tell you that that wisdom is so important. Wisdom is so important. The Bible says, "Speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in all aspects of him who is the head, Christ Jesus." Speak the truth, yes, but you have to speak the truth in agape, in love, so that we can grow up into all aspects of him who is the head, Christ Jesus. I have these two doves outside my window. And outside of my bedroom window, and I look out every morning, and I think it's the dad that sits on the eggs. I don't remember, but if it's the dad or the mom that sits on the eggs, or maybe they take turns. But this one has been out there for a few weeks now, actually, and just sitting on the egg. Well, today the spouse came and sat on the. The spouse came and sat on the, the branch, okay, and just was watching me, you know, because I was fiddling around the window, and they were watching me protecting their spouse and the eggs in the nest, and I was like, I was just kind of like watching them, and it was really kind of fun to watch, when the spouse realized that everything was safe, they flew off again. Now they were also watching me, but then came the leaf blowers and the lawnmowers and and all of those guys, and even the garbage guys, excuse me, and they were all and they were making all this noise, and the bird was watching them, making sure that the spouse was safe. That's wisdom. And I'm going to read this out of Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And he says, the spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him. He's talking about Jesus. The spirit of extraordinary wisdom, not just wisdom, but extraordinary wisdom. I remember Patricia King. I was watching this video, and I don't remember, 2008, somewhere in there. 2010, I think it was, actually. She recorded it in 2008. And she was talking about this, and I was watching it, and she said, she was talking about the spirit of wisdom. And she said, somebody's watching, his name is Thomas, you know, and I knew it was me. And she says, God is going to, you're going to have an encounter with the God of wisdom. The spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the spirit of extraordinary wisdom, the spirit of perfect understanding, the spirit of wise strategy, the spirit of mighty power, the spirit of revelation, and the spirit of the fear of Yahweh. And the seven spirits of God, and it talks about them in Revelation. The spirit of God, the spirit of extraordinary wisdom, the spirit of perfect understanding, the spirit of wise strategy. I'd love to have wise strategy. The spirit of mighty power, and the spirit of revelation, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. All right? His name will be called in chapter 9 of Isaiah. He says, the responsibility of complete dominion will rest on his shoulders, talking about Jesus. His name will be Wonderful One. I love this. Extraordinary Strategist. Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace, great and vast is his dominion. Extraordinary Strategist. Extraordinary Wisdom. If you lack it, ask for it, and God will give it to you. God, I need wisdom in this situation. God, I need wisdom in that situation. God, I need you in this. Help me. Show me what to do. What can I do? What should I do? And God will tell you. And he'll give you wisdom. Sometimes it won't be what we're looking for. But that's why it's important to hear the voice of God and to go with it. And to trust him. It may not be the most logical thing of what you think is logical. But let's face it. When did Jesus ever do anything logical? 5,000 men. And his disciples came and offered him some unsolicited advice and says, well, we've got 5 loaves and a couple fish, but what is that for so many? And Jesus says, it's fine, it'll work. That's not logical. Hey, here, take some money, go to the market and get a bunch of stuff. I'm going to go to the well today. I'm going to go to Jacob's well. And he's going past in this area that he's not even welcomed in. And he's sitting at the well, and some woman of ill repute comes up, starts talking to him. And then she ends up being the first evangelist in the Bible. Leads a whole city to God. It's not wise to sit at and ask a Samaritan woman to give you something to drink. It wasn't wise, but he did it. It doesn't look logical. It's not. I shouldn't say it wasn't wise. It was wise, but it wasn't logical. It's not logical to get yourself beaten for the sake of the entire world, everybody that's lived, past, present, and future. It's not logical to take on the sins of every person, past, present, and future. Can you imagine that there's 8 billion people alive today? Can you imagine? Please imagine with me the sins of everybody from Adam till the last person alive. And you carry that for them. I'm overwhelmed by that. And he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. He will overwhelm your failures with an open hand. He gives you. So that tells me that God takes into account all of our failings, all of our missings. He takes it into account and says, you know, all right, that's good. Come on, we can do better. Remember, condemnation says when you sin, when you lie or something, it'll say you're a liar or you're an alcoholic or you're a rapist. You're a murderer. And it makes your identity what you did. Conviction says you are royalty and you're better than what you did. Come on now. That's conviction. How many have been convicted by the Holy Spirit? Make sure you ask, empowered by confident faith, without doubting, that you will receive. For the ambivalent person believes 1 minute and doubts the next. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas driven and tossed by the wind, and you're up 1 minute and tossed down the next. I think we'll come back to that tomorrow because there's some things I wanted to share about that. No, I'm going to share it now. We'll pick up 7 tomorrow. Ask for wisdom, but don't doubt it. Have faith that God will give it to you. Faith is believing in the one who is ever faithful. Believing the one who promised. And not doubting. Because the person who doubts is wavering in everything. He just wavers back and forth. He's tossed to and fro like every wind and wave and doctrine. The kids today, generation Gen Z and the Alpha generation, the millennials, are tossed to and fro with everything that they see on social media. They are tossed back and forth. That's why there's so much indecision with elections, with there's so much indecision, there's so much lack of understanding because they're hearing so many reports from different opinions about situations that we've experienced over the last number of years. And I have to tell you that you get tossed to and fro if you don't hear the voice of God, if you don't listen to his voice. What happens is that you do get tossed with every wind and wave and doctrine that goes around there. People are looking for anchors. The older generation in this last revival, the older generation are the anchors. The body of Christ is looking for anchors. Billy Graham was an anchor. Amy Semple McPherson at that time was an anchor. William Seymour was an anchor. John G. Lake, very much an anchor. He wasn't satisfied with what somebody just told him. He wanted to search it out. The Bereans, searching the scriptures to seeing if they were so. Paul said that we have many teachers, but we don't have a lot of fathers. We need fathers today. We need mothers today. This generation is looking for mothers. They're looking for fathers to take them into the next realm. Yes, they have the zeal. They have the strength. They have the vim and vigor that the older generation is looking for, but they don't have an anchor. They don't have a stabilizer. I remember flying. It used to be that when I flew around, that the turbulence would come and the plane would shake. I remember one time I was flying back from Anchorage to Seattle. When was this? This was in the 80s. And I was flying, and as we took off in the middle of a snowstorm, it felt like somebody had the front of the plane and was just taking it and going back and forth like this. And I was shaking. I was like, ah. But I knew I was safe because I was on the plane. Now, very rarely, I mean, you get some shaking when you take off and when you're landing through the clouds, but you know, it's not like it used to be. You don't have these 1,000-foot drops, you know, because of an air pocket. The technology is so good now, and they got these little stabilizers on the end of the wings, you know, those little things like this. Boats, if they have anchors, they stop. And when the wind is blowing and the waves are tossing them to and fro, they are stable where they are. And they're not taken away with the current. Our generation, this next generation, needs people who will give them the anchor. Are you that? I know I am. That's what the older generation is for. I you know, in my next 40, 50 years of life, you know, not only am I going to be doing the things of the gospel, sharing the word, but I'm also going to be training them to make it. I was saved on August 4th, 1973. And in 2073, I want people saying, I was born in 2023. And I made it. I'm making it this far and I'm going further. Going deeper. Digging deeper in God and going for it. Not stopping. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas. You can't go back and forth on your decisions. I know too many people who go back and forth and they don't have the wisdom to make it. You're up 1 minute, you're down the next. It's almost like you're bipolar and you know, you can't do that. You have to go with what God has given you. Anyway, I've talked a lot. And so we're going to end there, and I'm going to pick up verse 7 tomorrow. I want to bless you today and just let you know that you got this. And if anybody wants to give into my schooling for next year, I need $5,460. And, you know, I'm looking for 100 people to give me $54. And, you know, each. And if you want the information, TomandSarah@Outlook.com is how to get a hold of me. On YouTube, Facebook, I'm going to put on how to do that, the links if you want to give into that. And, you know, on my podcast, just go to TomandSarah@Outlook.com and I'll get you the information. But this is the day. This is the day. Count it joyful when you experience your trials. You're going to make it. You're going to make it, and it's going to give you endurance. And when you endure, you ask the Lord, come on, God, give me wisdom. And he'll do it. All right, God bless you. Have a great day. And today is the 1st of April. I know some people call it April Fool's Day, but actually it's Persevering, Enduring Christian Day. I have to rename this thing. So bless you. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.